the truth, will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a great day to study the Word of God as each and every day is. Please, that you'd open your Bibles to John chapter 5. We're going to read from John chapter 5. We're going to begin reading with verse 47 to the end of the chapter. John chapter 5, beginning to read with verse 31. Please open your Bibles to that. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I'd like to invite you to study the Word with us today. We always have such a great and wonderful time studying the Word of God. Please don't miss an opportunity to do that. Now, we're in John chapter 5. I hope that gave you enough time to open your Bibles, and we will begin reading with verse 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his words abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come unto me, that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Let's begin with a word of prayer as we come together today to study the Word of God. Father, I ask that you would guide and lead us now. It's such a sweet opportunity to study the Word of God, to look at this sweet part of the Scripture of your Word. Help us to completely and fully understand it. I know each time we study it, it becomes fuller to us, that we may understand more and more to take care of whatever need we have for that day. So I ask, Father, that you will do that, that you'll fill the need of the day, that you'll help us, Father, to walk each and every day with you and being a blessing to you, Lord. Please, that you help us to walk the way we should walk, be the way we should be, and only can that happen in coming by faith to you, being saved because you died on the cross of Calvary for us, Lord, and upon dying upon that cross and going into that grave and being raised again on the third day, you have brought us life through the shedding of your precious blood, Lord. We just thank you that you were willing and showed so much love to us, even though we were enemies to you. You showed that love towards us that we may return and be back in fellowship with you and the Father. Please, Lord, that you would guide and lead us now. Help us to study this precious word. Help us to know your will. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been working through this area of Scripture. We have spent much time concerning the resurrections, the resurrection of the saved, the resurrection of the lost, the great white throne judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. All these things we have enjoyed the last several weeks. But last time we were together, we looked at some testimonies and a witness concerning to know that Jesus is true and Jesus is the Son of God. And we have many things here as we have read these verses of Scripture. Now, we have gotten down through verse 38 the last time we were together, but I backed up, and maybe I didn't start in the best place there. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. In the law, the Levitical law, there was always a requirement that it had to be more than just your own word in order to testify of something that had taken place. And so you needed a witness. Well, the Lord Jesus fulfills the law in every way, and so for him just to be here and say, I am God, and have no witness of that other than himself, he says that's not what the law says. And so he has stated in his precious word here several examples that we have concerning the testimony and the witness of the Lord Jesus, and the witness is true. I have been saved for many years, and I know because I am saved, he lives within my heart. I know that Jesus is real, Jesus is the Son of God, and that Jesus has saved me. If you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I understand why that you don't believe that. I hope today that if you'll listen very carefully, that you'll realize that it is true, that it is God, the only God, true God, and that you'll come to his Son Jesus and be saved today and begin this sweet, wonderful walk that's there for you. We have, as we look concerning the witnesses and the testimony, and just very quickly in the verses that we have read to get down to the verse 38 or 37, there's where we ended, and again we'll begin in the area of verse 39, search the Scriptures. But we need to take another look here. We have John the Baptist. John the Baptist gave a witness of the Lord Jesus. And people flocked to hear John the Baptist. People came by the hundreds, if not more, to be baptized by John the Baptist. John the Baptist's message was a very clear, very simple message, and that's repent. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Please repent. And he would just plead with them that they would repent. And to repent is to turn from your ways. And if you turn, then the Lord Jesus, that's all he asks us to do, is turn unto him. Look unto him for the way. And so we have John the Baptist. He gave the announcement, behold the Lamb of God. And so when he not only proclaimed the word, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand, he also, when the Lord Jesus and John the Baptist come together, he announced, behold the Lamb of God. So we have a record here very clearly that John the Baptist and these people followed John, listened to John, witnessed this, that he was, Jesus is the Son of God. Now this is recorded in God's Word. It's known, they witnessed it very carefully, and that's what they're saying here. Jesus had many miracles that he performed. Jesus healed the sick. He healed ones that no one could ever, no sorcerer nor no doctor, no one could ever heal many times, and it was completely healed. He would come by and examples through the word, he could speak to them, they would be healed. He could touch them, they would be healed. He would spit upon the ground and make a mud ball and apply it in a man's eyes, and he could see. He raised the dead. The miracle after miracle, the lame that had never walked from birth, he could speak to or touch. In some cases, they would touch his garment, and they would be completely healed. And the reason for all this strength and power that the Lord Jesus, when he come to this earth, he come to seek and to save those that are lost. But he come to give witness of himself that I am God, and I have the power and the strength to come to die on the cross for you and to save you, so please come by faith to me. But he didn't come and ask these folks to just believe it. We have examples through the Old Testament of everything, and I have many verses of Scripture in the area of verse 39 when it tells us in the very end of verse 39, they which testify of me. And I should have counted them. I have many, many verses of Scripture that we're going to look up concerning prophesying the coming of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. Now, as we look at these Scriptures and these examples, so now not only do we have John the Baptist, that he proclaimed God's Word. Many people think of John probably being a New Testament prophet, but he is not. He is an Old Testament prophet because he was a proclaimer of the coming Christ, the coming Messiah, the coming Lord Jesus. And so he proclaimed it, and he had the opportunity as well to not only just live and proclaim it and die, but he had the opportunity to proclaim it, to live and to see it take place, see that prophecy fulfilled, and to even announce, not only proclaim the Word of God correctly and bring people to the Lord Jesus as he did, but also he had the opportunity again to look and to see and say, "Behold the Lamb of God." He had the opportunity to hear the voice from heaven when Jesus was baptized. So there's many things that John had a wonderful, sweet opportunity in his service unto God that he was at that time. It was just so sweet that John got to take care of that and proclaim such a beautiful word and bring the word, the last word, that Jesus is coming and now Jesus is here. Then when Jesus began his ministry, and especially the last three and a half years, is when he performed miracle after miracle after miracle to show that he was God. And in my mention there is just a few, and no one could raise the dead. He would even have people that would be sick from away, a distance, and a servant or someone would come and say, my master's son or my son in some cases is very sick. He's sick unto death. Will you come? And immediately upon this man's coming to the Lord Jesus, that person was healed from a distance. Jesus didn't even have to go see him. You see, he's God. And we know with Mary and Martha that they were kind of upset a little bit when Jesus didn't get to the healing of Lazarus. Well, Jesus intended to be there late enough, and they even said he's been in the grave so long that he stinks. Well, that was no problem for Jesus, because you see, Jesus gives us, has made us, has created us, has given us life, and he can give us eternal life as well. And so to Lazarus to raise him from the dead was no great feat for God. And he did it. And isn't it wonderful to have these examples and many, many more concerning proving that he can do that? No one else has ever performed the miracles, the healing of the sick, the raising of the dead that Jesus has performed. And of course, no one can take our sin away except it be God. His way, his plan, and Jesus, the Son of God, has fulfilled that for us and taken care of it. Now, we also have in these verses of Scripture concerning the Father. He bears witness of the Son, and again, I've already spoke of it in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And so we know that not only did they have the opportunity to witness the miracles of Jesus, the preaching of John the Baptist, the acknowledging of John the Baptist that this is the Son of God, behold the Lamb of God, and now we have the Father proclaiming that this is the Son of God, and he bore witness of that. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased, Luke chapter 3, verse 22. We also have up in with the Mount of Transfiguration, again, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. So many examples that we have of even the voice of God coming. And then as well we have the Scripture. The Word of God bears witness of the Lord Jesus. And we have that precious Word. And again, I have come by faith to the Lord Jesus and have been saved. And so I know that it's true. Now, if you have ignored and denied coming to the Lord Jesus, then I can surely understand how you're a little backward. You're a little taken from it. You just don't quite believe it. Well, come by faith to Jesus. There's many witnesses to proclaim it. There are so many false doctrines and false teachings out there, my friend. And if we're not careful, we begin to follow them because man has his own way of teaching, his own way of instruction, and his own way of supposedly saving himself. And none is right. The only way is by the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So please that you would come to Jesus today. You would believe him and not believe man and not believe the witness of man, but believe the witness of God. And here we have the Word of God, and it bears witness of the Lord Jesus. They so carefully and so often wanted to have the law fulfilled. They were stressed so much in fulfilling the law, they didn't realize that they had changed the law so much into tradition, more so than just the law, as the way the Lord Jesus and the way God the Father intended it. They had changed it so much, but they still were really strict in fulfilling the law. And you go through all the Old Testament sacrifices, those things all led, told, and directed you to the Lord Jesus. The book of Leviticus is so clear concerning the tabernacle. And the tabernacle is such a beautiful picture, the most beautiful picture we have in the Word of God concerning Jesus and who he is and what he's done for us and what we need to do to come to him. Now, you think that's back in the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. It's the third book of the Scripture. It's one of the books of Moses. And yet it speaks so clearly of the Lord Jesus. Because you see, from the very beginning, Adam himself had to come by faith to the Lord Jesus, to the coming Messiah. And it was going to be many, many years. And there's a lot of question on the years. It speaks probably close to 4,000 years before Jesus put his foot as Jesus upon this earth. And he was with the Father in heaven. We have many examples through the Scripture where the angel of the Lord, I believe that to be Jesus, and so he was here many times, but not in the body that we know as Jesus that came to took on a human body and lived here, was born here through Mary, virgin, not fathered by man, fathered by the Holy Spirit, so there was no sin. He's the only perfect man that's ever lived. And when he lived in this life and come here for the purpose to die, that he may save us. And the Scripture speaks of that from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, speaks of the work and the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And so if you would study his Word, you can come to know Jesus. That's exactly how I was saved. It was not from an individual that brought the information to me and sat down with me and talked to me and said, you know, Larry, you need to be saved. You've been in church all your life, but have you ever come by faith to Jesus and asked him into your heart? And I would have said at the time, no, I haven't, and I don't believe in that. And that would have been my statement if someone would have asked me. Because when I began to study the Word of God and the verses of Scripture that was presented to me in the Scripture, and we're going to go through many of them here, Isaiah and Romans and John, and I just kept going through these verses. Well, what took place is the Holy Spirit, by His Word, convicted my heart, showed me that I was a sinner, I was lost, and I needed a Savior. And that Savior was Jesus. So you see, it wasn't a man that persuaded me. It was God's Word. So when we come to the last witness here, or this witness, the fourth witness that I'm speaking of here, by the Scripture, I know that the Scripture speaks of Jesus, and that's the reason we study the Word so clearly and speak the Word so clearly, because that's exactly how I was saved. Not that a man brought it to me, but the Word of God, my eyes saw the Word of God. My ears heard the Word of God, because it was also, it was a tape of Scripture verses, and it went over and over and over again. I just keep rewinding it, and as I listened to those words, the Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart, and I turned unto Jesus and was saved. And I have been so thankful. And again, when I say that I give witness of Jesus, I mean that. He is alive. He is at the right hand of the Father. He is intercessing for me. He is the intercessor for all believers, all that are saved. He at this time is still opened his heart up and opened his way up that you would be saved. And he's still calling the church together. So please that you would come to Jesus and please be saved. We have all this now is coming. And then again in verse 39, it tells us, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." And so the last item that we were talking about was and is concerning the Word of God and how it is a witness for us, and we need to search the Word of God. You will find all the rest in the Word of God, but to these believers, to these folks, not necessarily believers, to these people that Jesus was speaking to, when he said, "Search the Scripture," you see, they didn't have any of the New Testament, of course. They may have had Isaiah. I'm not sure how many of the minor prophets that they had with them at that time together, because it had not been brought together. The Holy Spirit had not finished the Word of God with the New Testament at this time, and so it needs to come together. But each time it proclaims to search the Word, to know the Word, to study the Word, and the power of God will be upon you. The saving power of God, the will of God will be upon you if we'll study and surrender to what He has us to do. So when it says here in verse 39, "Search the Scripture," what did they have? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the five books of Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah. What did they have that they were able to read? Number one, the first thing I want to tell you is that they didn't have a Bible in every hand, in every home. So many times they would just go into the synagogue to listen to the reading of the Word of God. And that's all the opportunity they had to hear the Word of God. Oh, how wonderful a time do we live in, that we have the Bible in our hands, that we can carry it with us anywhere we go in this country. We can sit down and we can read the Word of God. We need to praise the Lord that we have this sweet time and this sweet opportunity. Now, when we look here to see concerning searching the Scripture, I'd like to look up a few verses here. Again, verse 39, "Search the Scriptures." I want to show you some many things that are in the Word of God, and I hope that you have searched the Scripture. I hope that you're not just listening to your preacher as he proclaims the Word, and I hope he's preaching the truth. But you know, he's just man. I'm just man. And we need to confirm in the Word of God the truth. And if you begin just to listen and stop taking your Bible and things like that, and, "Oh, he's a good preacher, I know he is." Well, that's fine. You look at that Word. I expect everyone in this church to have the Word of God open and searching and reading that Word while I'm preaching. That's what I expect. And if I see someone young or old that isn't, why, I'll re-announce where I'm at, because I want them to open the Word. You see, I want them to see it, because the power is in the Word of God, not in my voice, but in the Word of God. And so they need to see that. Now, the Scriptures testify of me. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so." You see, as they heard of things that was taking place concerning the preaching of the men of God. Maybe it's, you know, we're not past, we're not too much time, too many years after Pentecost here, maybe 20 years. And so every time some new doctrine would arise, these Bereans, and that's who it's talking about here, because the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night to Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not just a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had acknowledged that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up many people. And immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timothy abode there still. But as we look at these verses of Scripture, we see that when they heard the word of God, they did not just accept what they heard from a man. They took it to the Word of God, and they confirmed what they heard in the Word. Now, isn't that wonderful? They confirmed what they heard by the Word. Now, if that man was preaching clearly the truth, then what did they see? And what did they find? They found it to be a truth, didn't they? They found it to be a truth. But you know, if you do not come and take your Scripture and study it so slightly and so slowly, can someone begin to move you away from the truth? And it may happen over a period of years. And over this period of years, it can take place. And all of a sudden, you realize that you're away from the Word of God. We have a king in the Old Testament named Josiah. He was a good king. Josiah believed he was following the word of God. But he began to rebuild the temple, and down in one of the lower parts of the temple, they found the word of God. He had been following tradition of man, and he found the word of God, and it broke Josiah's heart because he saw how far away that he was from the truth. And I hope that that doesn't have to happen to you today, because I hope that you're listening to the truth. But unless you search the Scripture, will you know the truth? Now, that's in the New Testament. Now, let's go back into Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I'll help you find it there. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 19. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. And the word fear there is not only to, everybody places reverence there, but it's to worship and to place him in the right position in your heart. In other words, you want to do what God wants you to do. Please, that you would worship him and look to him. And so to learn, that I may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, and to do them. Now you'll find that back in Deuteronomy chapter 17. Please that you, verse 19, please that you look unto the Lord Jesus. Now we have talked about some witnesses. We have talked about the need to search the Scripture, and next time we come together, we will continue that. And as I said, we're going to go through many verses of Scripture in the Old Testament that testify of the Lord Jesus, the coming of the Messiah, the coming in to save us, the coming to judge us, all these things. So please, dear friend, don't miss coming together the next time as we study this precious Word. Now, it's so important that you have come to the cross of Calvary, that you trust Him as your Savior. Will you, by faith, come today, look to the cross, realize your sin, turn to Jesus? My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?